A new film has been released in the United States promoting the pro-life cause. However, instead of taking a documentary look at the horrors of abortion, Doombie tells the story of how the decisions a person makes in the past can come back and haunt them. The movie is set in a small Texan town and follows the story of a mysterious drifter who affects the lives of all those around him. It stars John Snyder, Jen Gottson, and Ernie Hudson. It is now in limited release in the United States and was given a positive review by the Vatican newspaper L'Osservatore Romano. Charles Collins spoke to Peter McKenzie, the film's writer-director.
Well, actually, we never said it was a pro-life movie. This is a mainstream movie aimed at the mainstream market. It's kind of adopted, and journalists took it on and said it's a pro-life movie because it does have a pro-life message, or a message which means every life is important. But it's not a crusading pro-life movie as you would expect as a faith movie to be. Although we're pleased with faith movement and faith denominations around the world are embracing it, which is terrific. It's not a religious movie, and it's not a faith movie as such. I mean, there aren't any pastors or priests in this, and there aren't any prayers in it. It's a situation. In fact, it's a drama. It's a thriller. It's a Wonderful Life meets Twilight Zone. It has many levels, but it's designed to make people think and debate and consider how important a life is and how it will affect others around us. The label pro-life was put on it because, yes, in the end, that's what it is. But it certainly is not a preachy movie, and it's certainly not a judgmental movie in any way. It's one to promote thought.
This film, you have been working on it for a number of years. How did it come about?
It really was a very, very long journey. I mean, I thought about this many, many years ago. I guess even back in 1967 when the abortion law was passed in the UK. At that point, I was starting to write a bit of a book about it. And then, well, I was a chocolate salesman way back then. I was maybe in the film business. And then life's path took me along through becoming a brand manager with Roundtree McIntosh, as a matter of fact, and then into the advertising department, and then into working for major studios, major advertising agencies as a writer, and then in the TV department, and then into commercials, and then, oh, guess what? I'm now making feature films, and I'm now in the position to do this many, many years later. Career path took me there, and I thought, good Lord, I could actually make this film. And when I did, I went out and concentrated on making it. We found it all came together very quickly in the end. I found a wonderful man who shared my vision and backed the whole thing. And a gentleman from Austin who's a really good man, Wade Fedgill, my co-producer. And that was it, really. The whole process, I suppose, took about 40 years. But in its last stages from its final script, or well, pretty close to being the final script, I suppose, that would have been about 7 or 8 years.
This film has a very impressive cast, including the lead, John Schneider, who is fairly well known for his work in Dukes of Hazzard and Smallville. It's a small budget film. How did you get some of these bigger names to participate?
We basically just approached them. When I was looking for somebody like John, when I met him. I was concerned a little bit. I thought, you know, it's TV. The big difference between TV and movies. And John is a huge TV star and not necessarily a big movie star. But the moment I met him, I knew John was absolutely perfect for this. And John is a man whose career or his life has changed. It actually changed by Johnny Cash. His life was... not going very well for him in all kinds of directions. And he made a film with Johnny Cash and stayed with him. And Johnny Cash's example, by his Christian living, since Johnny Cash got his life together, inspired John. And John loved the script. And from that moment on, we worked very, very closely together to create Sam Doombe. And then everybody else came in. Ernie Hudson, everybody who was involved with it, all the actors, loved the script and are very, very supportive of its message. And that was why we got people to work for us for a lot less than they normally would, perhaps. You know, it was great. Ernie Hudson, of course, from Ghostbusters, and Robert Darby, and Jennifer O'Neill, and in fact, everybody. Joe Estevez is Martin Sheen's brother. Actually, the casting was not very difficult at all, simply because of the commitment to the same message that I had, so that was good.
Another star of the film is probably the town of Smithville, which is a small town in Texas. Often, these small towns have a character all their own. How did this influence your film?
Smithville just happened to be exactly as I'd written it. When I went there, obviously we were shooting in Texas with Wade from Texas, and the finance was here. But I was suggested I should go there because they made a movie called Hope Floats a few years ago with Sandra Bullock, and more recently, A Tree of Life, Terrence Malick shot in the little town. So you got 3,000 people, which is over 3,500 people. But everything is perfect. There is the police station, there is the town hall, and there is the church. Everything on Main Street is typical Main Street, Texas. And the local film commission, the Smithville Film Commission, are absolutely amazing. And they go out of their way to make life very, very easy. And everybody turns out, all the locals turn out and want to be extras and want to help and contribute. So it was a wonderful experience working in Smithville, I must say.
Just recently, L'Osservatore Romano gave a positive review to your film. And usually you don't get film reviews, especially about small, low-budget films made in Smithville, Texas, in L'Osservatore Romano. Can you give us your reaction to that?
I was completely blown away by the generosity of the review. I just thought it was wonderful. It's a terrific review, and I feel rather humbled actually that we got the accolades for this movie. Especially from a publication like L'Osservatore Romano. I didn't expect it, and it was just an amazing review, and I'd like to thank them for it. I hope a lot of people read it. It'd be very good if they did.
And finally, the film opened this month in Texas, Mississippi, and Tennessee. What has the reaction been, and where do you go from here?
Well, this was actually a test market to see. We'd only opened on 8 screens, and it was a marketing exercise, really, to see, there were various marketing strategies that we employed in different places. It opened quite well everywhere, but in Texas, Dallas, it was wonderful. We sold out the first night into the cinemas. And we've been asked to hold over for another week in Dallas in 2 theaters, which is wonderful. So now what we're doing, we're now preparing to get the investment together to roll this out across the states, and we hope to be doing so in the next couple of months so that we roll out to 400 or 500 screens, and then after that internationally by the end of the year. So those are our plans.
Was there anything else about the production that you wanted to add?
It was just interesting about Smithville and Norman McCorvey, of course. I don't know whether you knew about that. Norman McCorvey plays a cameo role in this movie. Somebody suggested that we want to put Norma McCauley in there. And I said, is she an actress? I didn't have no idea who she was until somebody explained to me she was Roe and Roe v. Wade. And I thought no more about this at all, you know, until we were intimate or we were casting up. And I just happened to mention that story to somebody. And they said, well, you know where she lives. I said, well, absolutely no idea at all. He said, we saw a little house there on the corner. That's where she lives. And I said, you're joking. and he wasn't. So I was introduced to Norma, and she came on and did a wonderful little cameo in this film. And it was uncanny because the lines she delivered, which weren't written for her at all, were much more poignant coming from her, given her history and the plot of this particular film. So that was quite uncanny and remarkable.